Hi, I'm Tilly, a dog behaviourist from the southeast of Kent, and I just want to talk about today how to motivate your dog, basically motivating your dog to do what you want. So it could be recall or it could be redirection training. You know, if you've got a dog that's aggressive or even separation anxiety, you want to find a way of motivating to get your dog to perform the behaviour that you want, right? So it's not, you know, we've come a long way from kind of forcing dogs to do what we want and kind of punish them into doing what, you know, we want as well. It's much better, not only for the relationship, but also for, it will make your training stronger if it is a positive reinforcement. Dogs want to be rewarded for stuff. Same with us. It's, you know, it's something that's learnt much faster if it's something that's good that's happening. But I see a lot of people that say, my dog isn't, you know, food motivated, so what are you going to do? Or he's not motivated by, you know, like me just telling him or whatever. So there's lots of different reasons as to why your dog isn't motivated by certain things. So one of the main reasons is the breed. Okay, so different breeds have been bred basically to be motivated by different aspects, and that's how they get good at their job. So for instance, you know, Cocker Spaniels are bred to kind of flush birds, so they're motivated to do this kind of zigzagging sniffing behavior, head on the ground and go for hours and hours. That's what they're motivated to do, and they're not meant to get distracted from that. Similar with hounds on a scent, so they're more motivated to kind of find a scent and chase things than they are going to be motivated by food, because as a hunter you don't want to have your hound dog getting distracted by sounds or being spooked or by food and getting off the scent of the fox or deer or whatever. So they purposefully breed them to ignore, and this is again why people say certain breeds are more stubborn. They are literally bred to be more stubborn, otherwise they wouldn't be very good at their job. Huskies are stubborn because they're meant to kind of pull and pull and pull and ignore basically any kind of lactic acid build up or any kind of pain or tiring. They've just got to ignore that and pull, so they've bred them to feel that, not to feel like, oh, I'm a bit tired, I'm going to slow down, for example. Same with a greyhound. Teaching recall is quite hard because they don't want to be distracted. And also, things like hounds are not bred so much to work with you as to be more independent, i.e. you're meant to follow them. So they're not kind of looking for that relationship so much as like a gun dog is. A gun dog is meant to take direction, and that's when you get all that eye contact and sitting, like, what do you want me to do, you know? So you've got to find ways of tapping into what your dog is actually motivated to do and work from there. The bull breeds as well, again, most of these bull breeds were bred either to guard or to fight. Yeah, there's no two ways about it. They were bred to fight, you know, each other and things like that. So again, and Terry is falling into this bracket too, you don't want a dog that's going to fight and then for it to feel frightened or to feel too much pain and then to stop fighting. You want a dog that's very good at ignoring all of that and then to keep going with whatever they're doing. Unfortunately now, because we have them as pets, they use all those clever ignoring tactics to just ignore us instead. So this is why people go into kind of like, my dog's not motivated. Food is the best motivator, okay? It doesn't work, it's not dog psychology so much as animal psychology. Same with us, you know, if we're hungry, our base desire really is to find enough food to eat and survive, you know, water, shelter, food, that kind of thing. It's the same thing for dogs. All of our dogs pretty much are really well fed, and this can be a problem for kind of getting them food motivated. Now, without sounding rude, you do have to take into account if your dog is overweight. So for a quick reference for overweight, you should be able to easily feel the ribs of the dog. You should be able to feel them but not see them, unless it's a breed like, you know, a greyhound or whippet where you can see them. But, you know, even a Rottweiler or a French Bulldog, you should be able to feel those ribs. And people saying that, you know, their dogs are all muscle, and that where they're just a barrel, it isn't. It is just fat. It's just hard fat. So getting your dog on a diet and slinging them down will make them more food motivated. Also, making sure they're not getting tidbits around the home. So, you know, if you're kind of, oh, you know, I have an egg in the morning and the dog has one. If your dog's getting these things for free, it's going to be less motivated if you want to use it for recall. So whatever you're working on, you should use the highest food, you know, value food that you can. Always check for allergies. And not give it to them at any other time. So if you were working on kind of two things, maybe obedience and recall, I would still only use the high value stuff for recall. You want to only be giving it those jackpot prizes when you're out and about. Now, some dogs, you know, they are the right weight and they're still not motivated. And that, to be honest, that's absolutely fine. It's very, very rare, but that's fine too. You're seeing a lot of these kind of poodle crosses. So cockapoos, multi-poos, they're very, very tiny. And they just naturally just don't get overweight. So people start getting worried that they're under eating, or they might start hand feeding them and stuff like that. It's all a ploy. You don't need to do that. The dog will not naturally starve itself unless it's very, very poorly. So try not to fall into that trap. But these dogs just naturally regulate their weight. And then what people tend to do is let the dogs graze. And it's just a vicious cycle, because the dog, from the dog psychology, it knows that if it keeps its resource down there, you are actually, you know, if you were another dog, you would eat that resource. But the fact that you're not means that the dog is now controlling that. So it gives it kind of some points, really. So if your dog is a grazer or anything like that, just take it up after 10 minutes. Anything it doesn't need, take it up. You can give it again later, you know, midday and evening if you want, but anything it's left, just take up. It will soon start eating properly. Bear in mind as well that ancient breeds, you know, like Akitas and Chows, they don't necessarily want to eat every day. And again, that's absolutely fine and that's normal. We've kind of got our modern society head on, but dogs are not always built like that, particularly the older breeds. If your dog is the right weight, doesn't graze and blah blah blah, and it's still not motivated, you want to start using all of its food out in your training. So, you know, if it's on kibble, that's, you know, it's obviously very easy because you can just buy a bum bag and give it biscuits and whatnot. If it's raw fed, this gets slightly difficult. And again, I'm seeing a lot more raw fed dogs, which is great, you know, for the digestive system. But it's not so great for the training, because you're trying to give them treats or whatever, and it's just like, well, I get really high value food completely for free, so why would I listen? So I'd always suggest, if you can, change them temporarily to kind of like a kibble based diet, or even wet food, you know, something of much lower quality, then please do if you can. If you can't, now you've got to go through the hard task of basically trying to get that raw food out with you on training. You can do this in a few ways. You can do it in kind of like Tupperware. You can get one of those, they're like a sleeve, you know, like a piping bag for icing, filling one of those up. It depends what your raw food is. It could be that your raw food is like bits of, you know, chicken breast, like actual solid food, or it could be like a butternut box and it's all squashed up. But you need to basically, it's now right, you're going to work for every bit of food that you get. And then anything that's left over, they can just get at the end. I would just jackpot the dog at the end. This is how I taught my dog's recall. It's like, no, you know, I own all your food and we're going to take the whole lot out on a walk and we're just going to give it to you. And I don't give like, oh, here's a biscuit. I give like a handful, you know, especially if it's a big dog that needs a lot of food. It's like, here, have a handful, you know, and then I vary it. So it's like, just have one now. Oh, you've come back, or you've really struggled with that. Have two handfuls, etc., etc. So this is a way of getting your dog to kind of work for their food. And again, it's be more motivated. But all these little things are basically what's stopping your dog being motivated. It's breed, it's kind of like, are they actually, you know, hungry enough and things like that. And it's really where you're using your high value things. So those are your first points. We've spoken a lot about food and how to get, you know, your dog motivated by food. And really that's the best way, because it's tapping into that animal psychology. But if your dog really isn't food motivated, you've got to think of other ways. And again, I always go back to the breed for this. So you get the bull breeds, you know, and mastiffs and things like that. They often really enjoy like just a game of tug. So I advise, if you can, just bring a tug toy out, just a tug rope. I had one Rottweiler a couple of months ago and we were teaching recall, and it was coming back to the food. But then we went back home, we got a tug toy, and you know, it would see a dog take a few steps and we'd call it. You know, you have to give it a tug on the line to get its attention. And then we'd start waving this tug toy and it came galloping over. It much preferred that to food. It was like, yeah, I love it. And then, you know, have a game, have like, oh, it needs to be a couple of second game. Same, it could be a ball. Other things are the flirt poles. You know, if you've got a dog with high prey drive, that's quite a good one to get out. So you can kind of start whizzing around, and it's quite clever. It's all fake fur, but it looks like a squirrel on the ground. So you start waving that around on the grass and things like that. That's another good one. Go with your breed and what is going to kind of motivate your dog at that time. Try to do different things. And the reason why I always like food is, again, it's very, very base natured that we need food to live. But also it's quite good because when the dog has it, it's then gone and now you need to supply something else. Whereas at the end of like a tug game, at the end of the day, you need to take it back so that you've got it again. And it can be seen as a, you know, a slight negative there. So that is something to watch. But definitely, you know, if you thought, well, we've tried all the food thing, then try different things as well. Other things that can motivate dogs to do stuff is actual things like work. So this worked much more, I found, with the high energy dogs that want to work. And the two that really spring to mind are things like Dalmatians and Pastordales. They're very, very niche dogs, but think if you've got basically a working dog and it's got quite high energy and it's not overly kind of sensitive, or I don't know if emotional is the right word, but they're quite confident. So they're quite confident. So obviously Pastordales are full of themselves. Dalmatians are pretty confident as well. These dogs, they want to work, and to be honest, they like it at quite a fast pace. So for instance, things like pulling on the lead, I've got about 6 different techniques that I use, and it really depends on the breed and personality. But one other thing I like to use is long leads. So talk about probably about 10 foot lead. So letting the dog has the whole lead and sharp changes of direction. So we call it lapping. So I make to go one way, the dog goes to the end of the lead, I turn and go the other way. I say this way, and then it'll hit the lead, and then it comes trotting back. I say this way, and I just do that. So I barely move, and the dog goes backwards and forwards. A lot of these, as I said, it's got to be confident, high energy working. They love it. They really get into it, and they start coming nearer, and they start looking into your eyes because they want to work and they want to engage. I had this crazy little Pastordale, bless him, and I love Pastordales, I specialise in them. And he was all over the place on his hind legs and barking at everyone, and he was quite aggressive, to be honest. Got him on a lead, quite a long lead, and started zigzagging him quite sharply, really, like tight turns and things like that, and really letting him out. And then, you know, calling him and going this way. There's no like nice stuff, you know, I'm like, come on, let's go, right, let's go. It's kind of, that's what I mean about a dog that's gonna be confident. If they're a bit shyer, some dogs will just stop at this. If your dog stops, it's not the right technique for your dog. But honestly, this dog went from completely disengaged, she was just staring up at me, and then I would just stand there and he'd sit wagging his little tail. He was really happy, he just loved this working pattern of we're going here, now we're going here, because it's busy and it's high energy. And it's kind of, you've got to have like your attitudes like jolly hockey sticks almost. It's like, come on, let's go, no nonsense. And they love it. They really engage with it. So that's another thing. It's like, have you got a dog that's just is motivated by this energy? It needs to work. It wants to work. Right, let's go and do something. So those are your things, really. Think, you know, food, toys, and working. You know, how can we get our dogs to work for us and enjoy the training? Because that's what it's all about. Motivation is enjoyment. You know, I've tried this lapping technique with some dogs especially like Akitas, they really don't like it, they're really low energy, and as soon as you've done basically one turn, they just stand there and they're like, well, I know you're coming back in a minute and I just don't like it, you know. So you have to do other stuff with those breeds. But the kind of the ones that are going to be up trotting smartly and things like that, you know, they really enjoy it, they find it really engaging. So just give that a go. Always work from a collar, by the way. Collar, or if your dog doesn't pull too much slip lead, I prefer a flat collar with a buckle so you can get it nice and tight. Harness, this doesn't really work with. Just thought I'd throw that out there. So, because you've got to change the direction from the head end, you know, it doesn't really work from the harness. It doesn't engage the brain quite as much because it doesn't get that nice turn. So just bear that in mind as well. And for this last bit, this is really a very basic training technique. So I've got to say it because it goes hand in hand with your motivation, right? Because obviously you're trying to motivate your dog to do something good, and it's usually because they're already doing something bad. So they could be like barking at other dogs, for instance, and you just want them to be calm and walk past other dogs without creating chaos. So find your motivational stick, whatever it is, and then what you want to do is really get your timing right for it. So the first thing you've got to do is actively stop that behavior. So whatever that behavior is, barking or pulling or running away, you have to stop it. And the only way you can stop it is not with your voice or even the motivation at this point. You literally have to physically stop it. So if your dog's pulling, you need to stop the dog. If your dog's running away, you need to get it, you know, back. You need to stop it running. That's obviously with a long line. If it's barking, it's slightly different because it can be like more of a threshold thing. If your dog's going absolutely doolally or way too close, you need to kind of go more into the horizon or calm your dog down by getting his eyes away. but that's kind of what you need to do first. So I kind of stop the dog. If it's dog barking, for instance, I'll kind of stand in front of it and kind of wait until the dog's calmed down a bit. So I'll block any sight. You know, it's sight that builds the adrenaline in the dog. So I'll stop all the sight, usually by me just being in the way. If they're going crazy, then they need to go behind a parked car or just get their eyes away. And then as soon as they're just a bit calmer, they don't have to be perfect, but as soon as you can see that, okay, they're starting to disengage from that dog, then you want your motivator, okay? So this is the next thing really is attention. You want your dog's attention before you give them what they want because they don't really understand the game yet. So I usually use voice, and this is like nice voice. So you've got your kind of, you need a black and white voice. So you've got your harsh voice for stuff that you don't like, and you're really, oh, well done, that voice for stuff you do like. So whenever they've taken a breath, they've calmed down, it's like, oh, what's this? So lots of weird noises. The dog looks up, which is what you want. You want that eye contact, which is your relationship. And then straight away, it's like motivator. So normally it's food, right? But it could also be the tuggy toy or the flirt pole. It's like, yes, let's come and let's do some stuff. Other stuff that I didn't mention, obviously, is affection. So physical stroking and getting into that relationship and voice. Dogs are really into this. Spaniels are really human motivated. And Staffies. Staffies are really into that relationship. So to be honest, I love Staffies. Most dog trainers will tell you they absolutely love Staffies and they're brilliant dogs because they're really into the relationship and what they want to do is just please you. So yeah, food works, tuggy will work, strokes will work, but what will really work is just your approval. It's like, yes, you've done the right thing there, mate. Now we can move on. So that's what you need to do. Stop the behaviour. So if it's running, you stop it with a long line. Now you need its attention. So, you know, you might need noises and things like that, clicking. I don't usually use name because most dogs have learned to ignore their name. So I like weird sounds. Or the lead, you know, giving it a little tug. So tug on and off. Yeah, so it's on, off, like a little jolt. That's all you need, a little jolt. As soon as you get those eyes, reward with the voice. If you've got a toy or a ball, start bouncing it. You know, this is what you can get, you know. But you want rewarding when they connect to you. You can't, if I'm standing in front of a dog and they're barking and I'm going, Benny, Benny, what's this? Benny, Benny, look, I've got a tug toy. It doesn't care because it's already looking at that other dog across the road or that cat. It doesn't care about the toy at that point. You've got to calm the brain down even a bit and then you reward. It's like, yes, you've connected to me. I love that. And then you can, you know, carry on. So I let the dog have another look or we go and do another, you know, recall challenge or whatever. But that's where you need to use your motivator, not when Benny is, you know, snarling and growling at the dog across the road. He doesn't care about the motivator then because he's much more interested in that Alsatian that's, you know, his neighbour. You need to stop him and redirect and then give him whatever he's into to redirect him. So I hope that's been helpful and gives you something to work on. Remember, all dogs are motivated by something, so you might just have to try different stuff, and that's absolutely fine. If your dog is overweight, sorry to say it, get your dog on a diet, get them to lose some weight. There has been studies, and they say that dogs that are kind of overweight actually live on average 2 years shorter than their litter mates, same litter that were the right weight. So it's definitely worth kind of getting your dog the right shape and using those high food motivators, so in all those different ways that we spoke about. So, yeah, so I'm Tilly. If you want any more information about us, head over to Fawn Dog, onetoonedogtraining.co.uk. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok as well. So go and check out, you know, I've got videos and stuff like that. So go and check that out and have a nice day.
If you're interested in more videos or stuff that I do, I am on TikTok. I usually put my TikTok videos also on Facebook and Instagram. So just search Fawn Dog for those. And the main website is fawndog121dogtraining.co.uk. Thanks for listening, guys.